T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 10:04 on The Fan in a very good Monday morning to you, the midday show. Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here, of course, till 1 o'clock CMB. We'll come your way. Doug Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live in living color from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at my favorite store, ShopRite. My wife was there this morning already to get the turkey and all of that, as we are into one of my favorite weeks of the year, and that's the Thanksgiving week. Short week. See, Monday that feels like a Wednesday. And a very good day yesterday for the football Giants, who showed, I tell you what, and this is something that baffled me, bro, all year. And maybe it was just the terrible play of the offensive line, whatever you want to say. But this team, you know, is loaded with offensive weapons. They really are. I mean, you look at this team, they're loaded with offensive weapons. And yesterday, we saw those offensive weapons come to fruition for the Giants in a game that they put up 38. And at the end, because Jameis Winston came in and almost gunslinged his way to the win, the Giants held on to beat the Bucs.
Yeah, this was what we thought, right? And this is what the expectation was. I think there's a combination of a bunch of things that have led to this Giant offense looking competent. Number one, you touched on it. I think the offensive line is playing a lot better.
This guy Brown has made a very big difference.
No doubt. And I think Nate Solder's playing better.
Yeah, much better.
And I think that you can look at the 4 sacks. I think that's very misleading. Mm-hmm. I think the offensive line was a lot better than that. I'll give you a great example. I watched the Bear-Viking game last night. The Bears actually only sacked Kirk Cousins 2 or 3 times. It felt a little different than that.
Right.
They had constant pressure on Kirk Cousins all night.
Yep.
I thought yesterday in this Giant game, the offensive line played rather well.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that sack number is a real indication of how well this line has played. Jamon Brown, who you brought up, has been a big addition.
Tremendous.
Eric Flowers and Patrick Omame simply not playing has been a positive. Nate Solder has been a lot better. And I think Nate Solder did that a year ago with the Patriots, where he didn't play well in the first half of the year and actually had a much better second half. So, number one, their line's a lot better. Number two, Saquon Barkley was running exactly the way Pat Shurmur wanted him to run. He had said during the week, I want those dirty yards from Saquon. He gave him a lot of dirty yards, man. He ran between the tackles. He was a beast. And I think what we're seeing with Saquon is one of the things that the Giants loved about him, that everybody loved about him, is not only his talent, not only his explosiveness, but that he's coachable. And that you're watching a kid get better and better as the season goes on. So I think that's a second factor. I'll give you the third factor. The quarterback's playing better.
Oh, my God. How good was he? He missed one pass all day, and that was that pass down the sideline to Barkley, where I don't know if Barkley turned the wrong way or just a bad pass by Eli. But
I don't even
17 out of 18 yesterday, couple touchdowns, no turnovers, not bad.
I don't know. Maybe it's because he was 17 of 18. I'm trying to be nice. I'm not trying to be nice. I'm being honest.
He was tremendous.
I don't think that was a bad pass. I think that was more on Saquon.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be maybe either way. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, you know, for all the demise of Eli Manning, he looked pretty damn good yesterday.
Oh, he was
awesome.
I can
tell you that.
He was awesome yesterday. I mean, any time you're going to complete 17 of 18
first
passes.
First 11 in a row to start the game.
So I think that's a factor. So let's go through it. The offensive line is better. Barkley was running for those dirty yards. I think Shurmur had a different approach. Boomer and Gio were just talking about it. Evan Engram, who made a play in this game.
I thought the biggest play of the game, to be honest with you.
But he was also on the field a lot less. And Scott Simonson was actually on the field one play more than Evan Engram, because I think that their game plan was, we have to run the football.
Right.
So I think the game plan has changed. Eli's been better. Saquon was better. Odell made a couple of big
plays.
How
about the catch you made for the touchdown? Holding on to that. I mean, how he held on to that ball in his hands. It was all hands.
Yep.
He caught the bottom of the football, and the ball didn't move right through the end zone.
Yes.
I mean, that was a sick catch.
That's what he does, man.
I know.
That's why.
Man, look, the talent is there's no question.
No doubt. And you know what the other thing was? And maybe this is a much smaller factor, but I want to point this out again because I think it's important. Corey Coleman on kick returns, Joe.
Yep.
How about the first drive of the game?
Yeah, yep.
They start about at their own 40 because Coleman is setting them up with good field position.
I think there was only one time yesterday in all the kick returns they had where Coleman didn't get beyond the 25-yard line.
How about that?
Think about that.
That matters.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. That's plus yardage.
That means that's plus yardage on every kickoff.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And think about Corey Coleman this season. The guy's been on 85 different teams.
Yep.
Bad attitude. He's cut here. He's cut there. Everybody's cutting him. And the team where it looks like he's going to stick in this role is with this team.
He looks that way.
And so I think when you factor all of those things together that we touched on, we are starting to see an offense that looks really, really good. And I should throw this in because I want to be fair. I think the other thing that helps is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are awful.
Well, look, let's be honest about this, okay? Thank God for the Giants for Fitzpatrick yesterday, because Jameis Winston came in and he just sliced and diced them. I mean, they didn't stop him. Four times they had the ball, four times they scored a touchdown. That last pick at the end doesn't – come on, he had to make a play that was 23 seconds left on his own 10-yard line.
Yeah, you don't even think about
that can't even – you really can't even count that. But, I mean, Fitzpatrick was horrible. I mean, some of the passes he threw – I mean, the one before halftime that Michael Thomas intercepted, the pop-up he threw to DeSean Jackson
that was
in the end zone
–
I mean, where is he throwing these
Joe,
passes?
Joe, I thought of all the horrible Fitzpatrick interceptions, and give the Giants credit because you have to take advantage of it.
And they did.
And they did. There are times in which you don't. There was actually a sequence, I forget which drive it was, where the Giants had three opportunities to pick off Jameis Winston, and the ball kept being tipped.
Yeah, they kept knocking it. They kept slamming it around.
Right.
No doubt.
So they didn't take advantage of it then. There could have been even more turnovers. They did against Ryan Fitzpatrick. They deserve credit for that. I thought throwing a jump ball to DeSean Jackson, who's 5'10", was as bad as it gets.
Even the pick six that Ogletree had and he took off Jenkins' back, where's he throwing that?
Nobody was open.
These guys aren't open. And even a huge play in this game, which you kind of forget because it was so early in the game, after the Giants go right down the field to score 7-0, the Bucs come right back down.
Yeah.
They got that fourth and a half a yard on the 4-yard line, 6-yard line, and he doesn't get the first down.
And it was reminiscent
on the quarterback sneak.
It was reminiscent of what happened at Tampa last week against Washington, where they have these red zone opportunities and they don't cash in.
That's right. Give
the Giant defense credit. They were able to get off
the
field. A couple of rips, though, on Jameis Winston. Number one, when he came into this game, it's a 24-7 game. The Giants defensively were playing a hell of a lot different than when it's a tie game
or it's
a relatively close game.
They were.
The other thing is, remember how the Bucs scored the touchdown on Jameis Winston's first drive?
The fumble. The fumble that was recovered by Evans in the end zone.
You talk about luck.
Yeah.
He put the ball on the ground.
He did.
And Mario Edwards, who made some plays in this game, he actually played pretty well. He put some pressure on Winston or Fitzpatrick, take your pick. But they were lucky that Mike Evans fell on it in the end zone for a touchdown, and that made it 24-14.
Yep.
But every time Tampa scored, especially in the second half, the Giant offense said, we'll respond.
Well, I thought the biggest play of the game, as I said, 31-28. He hits Eli over the middle. Because at this point now, Tampa's scoring every time they get the ball.
Right.
Now you're getting a little concerned. And he hits Ingram for that 54-yard catch and run, which set up the Barkley touchdown and made it 38-28. I thought that was the biggest play of the game for the Giants.
No, I really did. Absolutely, because they get a couple of yards on first down, and clearly Dirk Cutter's using his timeouts. He makes it very obvious. Well, actually, he did it for the first time after the Ingram completion, but he starts using his timeouts at the four-minute mark.
Right, yep.
And Saquon goes for two, and I'm thinking, you know what? The Giants are probably going to try to force Cutter to use his timeouts. They're just going to run the football down their throats, and that big play to Evan Ingram set him up in Tampa Bay territory where they continued to feed Saquon, except he was able to push it in and get in the end zone again. And he got in the end zone three times in this game.
He did.
And even when Tampa Bay responded, there just wasn't going to be enough time at that moment. So the time for Tampa's defense to make a stop was at that five-minute mark. And you're right, the Ingram play was huge. But we saw less of Evan Ingram yesterday because I think Pat Shurmur said, we got to establish the run. We've got to run the football. And at times this season, it's felt like the Giants have gotten too far away from it. That wasn't the case yesterday. And they gave the ball to Saquon Barkley 27 times.
Yep.
They were running the football all day. That's why Eli Manning was able to have the performance he had, where he only threw the ball 18 times.
Yep.
And it opened up opportunities. That Ingram play, I think, was created by the fact that they were trying to stop the run. Yeah. They were trying to stop Saquon Barkley.
Hey, look, this is the offense you envisioned the Giants to have all year. Unfortunately, it took them, 10 games to get to this point. But, but we'll see. I mean, they got Philadelphia coming up this week. Now, I don't think they're running the table. I think you're asking a lot. They got to play the Bears yet. Are they going to win all these division games? They got to play the Redskins. They got to play the Cowboys. They got to play Philadelphia again. I mean, are they doing that? Probably not. But, I mean, you're right. This was the blueprint for what the Giants' offense should have been all year, to
no
be
doubt.
Very honest.
Now, there are going to be things, especially when they play Philadelphia, who looked awful yesterday.
Awful.
But granted, they also played maybe the best team in the
NFL.
That
team right now. I'm watching that team now the last couple of weeks. I mean, here's the thing about the Saints that jumps out at me. I understand they got all the weapons and all of that. Breeze, their offensive line, they don't touch the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Breeze, did he get touched? He didn't get touched yesterday the entire game. And that's a pretty good defensive line.
And they're without their left tackle, too.
Right. That's right.
So, I mean, they're still doing that.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That offensive line. I mean, you talk about the best offensive line in football. Right now, to me, it's New Orleans.
No doubt. But Philadelphia, as bad as they look right now, is a step up from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Of course.
And the Chicago Bears are a step up from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Big time.
Who are a step up from Tampa.
Right.
Here's the point. There are things the Giants did yesterday. There were a lot of good things. There were some bad things they have to clean up. And I'll take you back to one sequence that is probably forgotten about now because it ended with an interception and the Giants won the game. How about Olivier Vernon?
Oh, my
God. How about the sequence?
The three straight penalties?
Yeah. And it starts.
The roughing the passer was a little shaky,
I thought. There's no doubt.
A little shaky. And I understand what they. Because here's the problem I have with it. Sometimes they call it and sometimes they don't.
That's the problem I have with it, yeah. That's the same thing in the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game. They could have called everything on Jacksonville in the final minute of that game.
Right,
they were getting physical. I don't blame them, by the way. They were getting physical. So it's the inconsistency more than anything else. But there's no doubt, because it's a third down. The Giants are off the field. Think about it. Giants are off the field.
Yep.
They got, about a minute to go to maybe march down the field and score points. They call a roughing the passer penalty on Olivier
Vernon.
Which
was very questionable.
Questionable call.
But there was no questionable on a two offside penalty.
Well, I think that affected him.
Yeah, probably did. You're probably right.
I mean, I don't remember. Right. It's jet-like in a way. I don't remember.
Jet-like.
Well,
we get three penalties on one play.
Well, that's different. That's a different trifecta. I don't remember this trifecta.
Boy.
The same guy gets called for three consecutive penalties.
Right, you're right.
For a
Doesn't
combined
happen.
25 yards.
Yep.
15 on the roughing the passer, 5 for the neutral zone infraction, 5 more for the other neutral zone infraction.
Well, the defense saved itself yesterday because of the turnovers.
Yes.
They had 4 interceptions in the game. And probably that's the story, the difference in the game is that. I mean, if you want to just break this game down to one thing, it comes down to the Giants 4-0 in the turnover battle.
No doubt.
That's really it.
And it doesn't count as a turnover, but you touched on it. Stopping them.
On 4th and 1 yard.
Yeah, the 4-yard line is essentially a turnover.
Yep.
And remember, the Giants get the football at their own 4-yard line, and they still march down the field.
They did.
And punched it in for a touchdown.
Yep.
And they were kind of creative. They had that reverse
to Beckham.
Was
Beckham
that
had like
that
an
drive?
11-yard run, I think.
That was it.
Yeah.
The reverse to Beckham.
Right.
You had Saquon Barkley on one run, reversing field, breaking tackles like a video game.
Yep.
And the Giants were able to punch it in and go ahead. And they played from ahead, which I think is incredibly important.
They did.
And allowed them to run the football and establish the run. So it was a good victory. Hey, did the Buccaneers stink? Sure, they stink. But there's a lot of bad teams in the NFL. Still have to go beat them.
Yep.
The Giants did that. As far as where they go from here, look, there's a long way to go. Odell Beckham Jr., though, is setting himself up. Here's what he's setting himself up for. If, God forbid, somehow the Giants prove us all wrong and they run the table, let's just say it happens, he is going to, even without them winning a Super Bowl, he is going to elevate himself as the guy who stood there and said, hey, we can run the table.
Well, it's a no-lose situation. I mean, when you think about it, saying that, you can't lose. I mean, because, it's probably not going to happen. But if it does, then you're a prophet if it does.
Yeah, it's a little different than when Jim Fossil said we're going to make the playoffs.
Because, we're all in.
Because Fossil could have gotten fired.
Well,
right?
They also were a couple games over 500 when he said that. I mean, it wasn't like they were 3-7 when he said that.
But there was still more risk when he said
there
that.
There was more risk.
Than Odell.
That's true.
And you're right. The risk reward on Odell making that comment.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win, but it still will elevate him in a very big way. I mean, they'll make T-shirts out of this whole stupid thing. Yeah. He's already using Nike phrases to describe, you know, basically the run they have to go on. Now, I still think it's very, very unlikely.
Very hard. Very tough.
But what definitely has to excite you, if you're a Giant fan, is how open this division feels, especially, and it's unfortunate, but
it's
especially
sad.
With what happened to Alex Smith.
Yeah, how crazy is it, too? It's 33 years to the day that Steisman had his injury against the Giants on that Monday Night Football game in 85 when LT broke his leg. And Theismann was in the building watching this.
He was, yeah.
How about that?
It was very surreal when you heard that. When you see the injury, which is gruesome, and you hear about it's on the exact day, and I'll throw in another thing. It was the exact final score as well.
Yeah, 23-21.
So you throw in that, and there's a lot of oddness to what happened to Alex Smith.
Yep.
We'll get into the rest
of the Redskins won that game. They didn't win this one.
That is the difference.
That's the difference.
And they could have won this game.
Sure.
They certainly had a chance.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.